What's good, everybody? This is Ray Danes, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniel Tsai. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorayandCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorayandCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love is Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And this is The God Show. And I want to tell you guys, the reason why I love what I do is because sometimes you see podcasts and you see people shining a light on the people that are the wrong people. And I love this right here because it gives me a chance to like highlight the real people, the people that get busy. So I want you to imagine that you are in the music business, maybe mid-20s when we met. You're in the music business. You know you don't want to wear a suit and tie to school, to work. Like, we figured that part. I don't want to wear a suit and tie. So I know I got to do this hip-hop thing. And then you might see space in other places that you might fit. It takes balls to do this. I want to introduce my bro, Ja. Let's clap for Ja. But what I really want to introduce him for is because we came up together and I seen him pivot and he had a crew of killers. It was like, if it was somebody who was supposed to win in music, it was him and his crew. They was loyal, they was together, they was friends, everything. And I watched him pivot from music to build a sports league. And I just want to highlight people like Ja, because there are young kids that's watching this that sees a basketball court and only sees themselves playing as their way to make it. Ja shows us that all of that is different.
Yeah.
So let's give it up one more time for my brother Ja Rawley. So Ja, where did you get the balls, the wherewithal, the mindset to pivot? And you have kids. That's another reason why I respect it.
Yeah.
Because when you got kids, them pivots feel like, them dangerous. Feel, you about to pivot, so you just broke your knee. Like, So you got kids. Yeah. Where did you get the wherewithal and the mindset to know that you can build something, whether it's an artist or a league?
Yeah, man. I think it started, you know, our upbringing, you know, growing up in New York, it's just a different type of pedigree, a different type of environment that you come from. And when I was young, man, I always was a kid that I kept a basketball in my hand.
Yeah.
No matter, we could be doing some bullshit, I had a basketball in my hand.
Yep.
So people never really knew that I was as bad as I was, because they'd be like, nah, not the kid with the basketball. You talking about Harriet, son? Like, so I think for me, man, I always looked at how I was going to get out the hood. I never really had a passion. I wasn't excited about the drug dealers, like all my cousins and the guys in the hood. It didn't infatuate me because I was a young dude with the sneakers too.
Yep.
So it's like I had the J's on, they had the J's on.
Yep.
So for me, it was more like, if basketball is my way out, I got to figure out how to do this and do it at another level.
Yep.
So I've always been traveling. I've been traveling the world since I was 10 years old, bro. Mm. That's what gave me the outlook to get outside the world. And then once I started dealing with people that wasn't from the hood or from the projects, I was like, oh, these people are not smarter than me. They might got a little bit more resources,
yeah,
but if I just keep dedicating myself to what I'm doing, I'm gonna get up out of here.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, man, I always had a passion. I started really young. I used to do, you know, we come up in the street team era. So, yeah, you know, I street team for Def Jam and Fab. And, you know, we had an artist that y'all may remember, A Plus, that came from Long Island. We went to middle school together.
I remember
so
A-plus.
I was always, yeah, he signed the key dog. So at a young age, I was already introduced to this and I fell in love with it.
Sure.
And I knew, I was like, man, it's going to be one or the other. We used to argue, you know, sitting on the stoop. I'm like, yo, bro, if, even if I don't make it playing to the league, I'm going to be doing this music shit. So for me, man, I knew that it was bigger than me. And once I really started understanding kind of like the hood mindset that you have growing up, you got to make it so you can take care of your family. And then when I got a little older, I would say about 16, 17, I was like, yo, man, I want to really help stars, people that I believe in. And I think where that really came from, shout out to Sports Illustrated and all the magazines that we used to read growing up. I was always looking. So Michael Jordan was on the cover. I was trying to read in between the lines on who created Michael Jordan.
Who was the name?
Sonny Vaccario is a... So it's Jay-Z, Sonny Vaccario, and Allen Iverson for me. Those are my three heroes.
Oh, wow. You got to get... those
are my three heroes. I love that. Sonny Vaccario shaped what we know as basketball culture, sneaker industry that we know and we love. That's who created it. Now, along with the other pioneers that, you know, the Dapper Dans and the different people in the hood, but as far as we know, corporate... in a job and somebody really making a mark, it was Sonny Vaccario.
What did he do differently than other people who are in his position? Like,
I think he just did the same thing I do now. He didn't give a fuck. He was like, I'm gonna disrupt it.
Yes.
Like, if you seen the Air movie, that's Sonny Vaccario.
I know,
like,
of course.
Mm-hmm. His whole mantra was like, this norm shit ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
And you know me, that's how I always been. I came to Atlanta at 18 years old to play college basketball, but I didn't just come here for college basketball.
Yeah.
When I went to the AUC, I was like, came Lord Jesus, I'm never going home. They can forget about this shit.
Period.
You know, we used to be on X-Fair back then. You used to get the little AirTran X-Fair. I was passing on mine. My mom's like, oh, you want to go to New York? I'm like, nah, bro. I'm down at the AUC.
Yep.
I'm down at a little 5 points or underground because I just fell in love the minute I came to Atlanta. And I knew, man, I was like, nobody got the pedigree that I got. Ain't nobody going to out-hustle me. I don't think a lot of these people smarter than me. And no offense to the people that was here doing it, but I already came from what I saw was success.
Yeah.
Not too many people can say that. I saw Jay-Z early. Dame is another. He's not in my top three. He's probably in my top 10. But that's who, just like yourself, that's who I'm like, yo, y'all niggas ain't telling me nothing.
Yep.
I'm doing everything that I want to do, no matter who get in my way. How you try to stop me, I'm going to navigate a way around it.
Yep.
And I just took that energy and I felt like, you know, my brother... Well, actually, let me go back a little further than that. My cousin was an artist, if you remember. Mm-hmm. The redhead kid, Brian.
Yeah, I remember Stacks.
B Stacks.
Yes.
So B Stacks, we were doing that from high school.
Yeah.
Talent shows, going to the skating rink and things of that nature, because he was like, yo, I want to do this music thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, cool, let's roll. Started a company. My company was called We Got This Entertainment. And once I started brushing shoulders with the powers that be that we looked up to, and I'm in a room with Lee Alcorn, I'm like, bro, what the, like, how does this shit happen like this?
Yep.
But I think for me, man, I just always knew that I needed to be a servant of my culture and my people and my community. Mm-hmm. And that's what really drove me to where I'm at now.
So when I've been in the weeds, so I want to get a little bit in the weeds with you. When you're in the weeds of it and you're like, basketball, are you thinking, I'm going to create a league and this is going to feed my family? Or are you thinking, I need to do something and this is what I want to do and let me see where this takes me?
Nah, I think for me, because what a lot of people don't understand is while I was doing the music, I was doing basketball too. So
I didn't know that, by the way. Yeah. I figured that out later. Yeah.
So I worked for the Atlanta Hawks for four and a half years, and then I also was coaching AAU.
Mm.
So a lot of the guys y'all see now, the Colin Sextons, the Jaylen Browns, around their era when they were young, I was doing AAU basketball.
Because
basketball is always, I came out of the womb ready to play, right? So basketball has always been my thing. I just wanted to navigate in different spaces because I really thought the hip-hop culture was so dope.
Yeah.
I soaked it up, man. I would go on Jamaica Avenue and just watch people pass out CDs and the artists that were buzzing, the Nicki Minajs, the French Montanas. I mean, you name it, that came up from New York. That's my era.
Yeah.
So I seen them. I'm like, yo, this shit kind of, this dope. Like, yeah. Everybody's so, you know, for me, when I positioned the music and then kind of pivoted, it was already in my plan to do that.
Gotcha.
I just didn't know how I was going to do it.
Mm.
When I was at the Hawks, man, I used to, a lot of the ideas that the Hawks, I see them do now, was ideas that we shared back in 2009, 2010. Yeah. They just wasn't receptive ready. To yeah. it. You remember, yeah. if anybody knows the Hawks was really like a corporate like entity. They didn't really touch the culture too
yeah.
much.
Yeah, it was a white.
Yeah, it was like solely blue collar. We yeah. just want corporate people, corporate companies, people that got paying jobs, they can buy tickets. Mm-hmm. And then they shifted the whole fold and the market strategy to make it about Atlanta culture and hip hop culture. Yep. So I was kind of stagnated. It was a glass ceiling over my head. I didn't really know and understand where I would go next in the building. So I was like, yo, the whole time, my last year, 2012, and I still got the notebook, I started jotting out what I wanted to bring to Atlanta basketball-wise.
Mm.
Now, backstory, I was already doing dope basketball shit.
Yeah.
I was doing the Red Bull King of the Rock.
Mm.
I was doing the Red Bull Midnight Run. Mm-hmm. You know, when these big brands pop up in Atlanta doing basketball, it was me.
Got you.
I wasn't nobody yet to them. Mm-hmm. So they like, nah, you can't put your face and name on it.
Yeah.
It got to be us. It got to sure. be our event. And I was like, oh, this is what I was doing when I was interning at these marketing agencies. Mm-hmm. The agency doing the work, but the brand getting the accolades.
The recognitions.
I said, all right, I got them. I got to figure out how to do this. Because my whole vision, and God rest his soul, my OG, Greg Maris,
mm-hmm.
he damn near fought me to bring the Rucker to Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
He was like, call that shit the EBC. I'm like, nah, I don't think we could do that.
What's
like Atlanta's so Entertainers Basketball Classic.
Okay, got you.
So that's when Jay and Kobe and Fat Joe. Yeah, so you're talking about the height and essence of summer basketball. He was like, yo, you need to do that. And I'm like, bro, I got something that I'm going to do. I'm going to pay homage back to the city,
uh-huh.
right? And I'm going to make sure that we keep an allegiance to each other. So when I came up with ABL, I needed to leave that entertainment aspect. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's entertainment. No, we the next thing closer to the NBA.
Yeah.
We're the NBA in the summer.
OTE is kind of biting.
Yeah. Well, they're kids.
Yeah.
So, but mm-hmm. we all pro. You know, we do have the top high school college players, but ours is a pro-am, meaning majority of these guys are NBA, overseas,
got
G
you.
League.
Got you.
The OTE kids do come and play, but they did kind of rip, and they ripping me now, right? Like they looking at the platform that we keep creating of keeping the energy. Mm-hmm. And I respect it. Hopefully it changes the landscape, because I have a son who's 11 who's a hooper,
yeah.
so hopefully there's yeah. a platform for him to go to. So no shade.
Not for sure, but I mean, we make the cool
but
shit.
But my claim to fame that I will leave this earth with is that I boosted the hoop ecosystem in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
I made the Hawks do different shit. When OTE came, they had to do something different. We made McDonald's All-American game come here. We made TBT, the Million Dollar Tournament, come here, because we made this city attractive
yeah.
for basketball.
Mm.
People didn't care about basketball.
You're right. Our street culture is just as yeah. big as our professional culture.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
Jalen Brown, we're just as happy for him. Like
That's it. Like, he like
the Hawks.
Yeah, like, he
yeah.
our family member.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
It was a shame.
But
right.
they didn't, you know, they didn't respect it. So to your point, it was I left a good paying job. I didn't know what I was going to do in the aspect of how money was going to be made, because we
yeah.
wasn't making a lot of money from the music stuff. And the crazy part is, the year that I actually quit the Hawks was the first year that Just Nice went on tour. So I knew that I was making the right decision
yeah.
because I'm like, well, I didn't leave. Like, I didn't even know what was going to happen. He was kind of in that limbo of, like, did he still want to do music? Did he not want to do music? And I'm like, yo, bro, we done put in too much blood, sweat, and tears
yeah.
traveling back and forth from South Carolina, North Carolina, New York to do new media and
yeah.
stuff like that. And I think for me, that was that point that I was like, this is that. Either you're going to go hard or go get a job.
Yeah. We don't talk enough about jobs. Everybody wants a job, but when they're asking for a job, they're saying, take all my time. They don't realize that.
Yep.
Like, they want a job because they want a check,
mm-hmm.
but they don't realize that the money from the check is not going to be available to be spent on anything extra, because your work. It's like a hamster wheel, get a job. And I'm saying that because I want to give you, because I ain't gonna lie, like I had to learn that. Like once you stomach the entrepreneurial thing of like, you know, sacrifices and it takes a real stomach to do it. Once you get that, you realize that the people who gamble are the people who really win the biggest.
Every time.
And you could have said, I'm at the Hawks, I want to be in sports, I'm in sports. But you said, I'm gonna go build something.
Yeah, and that's my motto, and I share this with young kids. Like, we gotta get them out of that mindset of like, it cool, so there are some people that are workers.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, their makeup, their character, everything is made for them to work a job.
Yeah.
And then you have some people who are innovative, creative, that may be afraid a little bit to take that risk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell that kid every time, bet on yourself.
Always. Right.
Every time. And when I say bet on yourself, I don't mean just go do random shit. It's like, yo, that dream, that vision that you got, because I had it. It was in my head the whole time. Even when I was doing the music stuff, I would try to find ways for the artists to do basketball.
Yeah.
So I never really, like, and again, like I said, I talk to people now, podcasts, you know, and they be like, you did what? You did music? I'm like, yeah. I can name every artist in this city, minus Yachty Baby and probably Thug, that I didn't have access or do things with, because they were, I already removed myself completely from the music industry. Everybody else, taking them to New York, putting them on A3C Festival. Mm. If y'all remember, we were doing the BET Hip Hop concert showcase. So, and they're like, you did. I'm like, yeah, bro. I just never was like, it was always like, how to help everybody.
Yeah.
How to make this city shine, give resources. A while ago, me and Key was laughing because.
Shout out to Key.
Yeah, shout out to Key and, you know, all the dope stuff that she's doing now. We had a meeting at Slice, right? That then turned to Spin, and then I forget what it was Peter Street. We had a conversation. We was like, yo, we need to create this thing, like a conglomerate of different managers and people who work with these artists, right? And again, I'm dating back, so some people may remember, may not. You remember, we created the whole New Atlanta movement.
Yeah. Wasn't it like the
it was
4-4 thing? I know that you was
It was so
I was later.
So
4-4 is later. Than that.
But I'm this is back in 2012-13.
Oh wow!
So you got to think.
Like 2018, 19.
Baron Tacos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 2-9.
Yep. Westside Pie over the, we used to hang out there.
That's it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I go back to that era, and I think somewhere people. I kind of disappeared to people, and then I came back with this basketball league. But I was always in the trenches.
Yeah, but you know, but you learned, though, bro.
I did.
And the one thing you said that I want to bring attention to is what people don't understand is that if you can break something, you literally just created two forms of income, because you included the whatever you broke, but you include the process of how you broke it.
Yep.
So now, like, so people know Puff had. Like, and I'm only using him because he's the first person to pop in my head. Puff had Bad Boy, and that was the face for it. But the business was the Blue Flame and agency.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was the business. That was the back office.
Yep.
And what you did also by building a league was you built an outlet for our community. You made money for yourself, but you also built, and you know how to get the sponsorship money.
Yeah.
That's what agencies do.
Yeah.
So you can, motherfucker come to you and say, yo, can you get me some sponsorships and take 20%?
Yeah.
You built a whole nother stream of income for yourself because you have the relationships.
And that was, and I'm glad you said it that way, because I don't talk about that as much as I should. And again, in a humble sense, I am Jai. I'm never going to try to be braggadocious or whatever. But when you talk about the last decade, nobody in the city has brung the money that I've brung to the city.
And the corporate dollar, I've watched you.
It's not even close. And that's why when I see opportunities, the guard show, I'm like, this is a layup. I could text my people like, yo, my guy got a show. He got all these different people. He's already built the brand and the bandwidth that y'all can get on.
Yep.
Yo, y'all need to be rocking with him, even if it's just supporting him.
Tell him we need that. And we'll pay our percentage, by the way.
But, yes.
But I'll give you percent, brother. We pay on time around here. Let's go.
I think that's where I'm at now, man. My next kind of prowess for myself is to let people know what I really do.
Yeah.
This basketball league thing is cool.
But you have
to, though. I
built
it. You got to. You got to stand in your moment.
Because if you don't, somebody going to take it and say, this is what I did.
And I'm humbly creative in a way that there were people that laid this, Kenny Burns, Steve Stout.
For sure.
what's my man at Translation? I mean, it's so many black Burrell Agency. There's a lot of black, innovative, creative people who paved the way for me. So I never been like, yo, I'm better than them, whatever. But I'm taking this shit to a whole nother level because I'm gonna touch multiple facets and while giving back to the community. Because for me, I know the next generation, I'm trying to kick back and chill. I ain't trying to work till I'm 50. I'm 41.
Me too, me neither.
They got 8 years, 9 years out of and then I'm chilling.
I'm planning the retire. I want to still work, but I'm planning the retirement work life where like I have a vision of what life looks like. I just can't wait to get there. I'm actually hustling to get, but I'm like, bro, I can't wait to that because I'm in music and, you know, I make great money in music and pot I'm making good money in. But like once that shit reverses and I can really implement the ideas, That's what I'm glad I did. That's why I give you so much credit because
no, I appreciate
it. I had to switch from music to media while being in music.
Yeah.
I'm still in music every day, nigga. Like, I'm dealing with shit right now. Right. Like, I got to get done. But I'm in media, so I know how hard it is. So when you pivot and you in different worlds and different lingo, different language, different ways of talking, different ways of being judged, all that shit.
Yeah.
So for you to come in there with that hip-hop attitude and be like, nigga, it's the Dame Dash moment. Yeah. He was at that party. He was like, I'm cooler than these niggas, man. Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. I'm coming to take this shit. Yeah.
What you mean I'm not in the meat?
What?
You know what I'm saying?
This is my shit. You don't understand my culture. Yeah. You don't get, but we need more of that. So what is next for ABL? Like, if you could let us into the preview, not the movie, because I know you a visionary, but if you, the preview of what it looks like, what does that look like to you in the future?
Yeah, so one of our the big things that we aiming for right now is obviously to get on TV regularly. So we do have a partnership with NBA TV and NBA app where they feature select games.
Yep.
My vision and goal is to get with, it may not even be them, it may be a, you know, a Netflix or, you know, Hulu, whoever, to broadcast our games and create content around it, because that storytelling piece is huge in sports.
Yes.
People want to know why. They want to know what's going on and how this is happening. So we are working on our documentary. My plan is to have it out before our 15th anniversary. And then we've been in the forefront of women's basketball. We created a women's league 4 years ago. Nobody really cared. Now it's a hot topic. So now, i.e. why I'm saying I got to stand in my moment. I can't let somebody else zap from
take
me.
It, be like,
right.
Yes,
like man. I put a hold on what I was doing with the men's league and even some of the marketing stuff to really put the energy into the women's game. And now we're seeing it turn. We just had an NBA. This has never been done before. A WNBA current on roster in season come play at our pro-am. Mm. Erica Wheeler just came this weekend. We got three more weekends of WNBA players while they're on this break.
Oh, yeah.
But our vision is to create like the G League for the Women's W, sports. Like the men's half, right? Because why wouldn't they want to be in Atlanta during the summer?
Period.
You got access to everything. And then we already got the platform. We got the voice. We got the eyes on us. And people already talking like ABL Women's is like, you want talent? You want overseas agents? I mean, our phone is going crazy of how much talent we have in this women's league. And I'm like, now we got to maximize it. I got to punch the ticket.
Yeah.
I can't wait like I did with the men's league to figure it out. And I got to go.
You got
to
own it.
And that's the big part. And then just for Ja as a whole, like I said, man, it's really standing in my moment and in my light, letting the world know what I really do, what I'm capable of, the brands that I've been behind. Because a lot of this stuff don't happen without me.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is like you got to kind of play the, I'm tired of playing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of playing.
But not only that, you can't allow the scope to change and you not get the credit for being there.
Yeah.
Like and we don't talk enough about that. And my problem with what they taught our generation is actually the reverse of what it is now. They taught our generation to sit back and don't take the credit.
Yeah.
But in the age of the internet, if you don't, somebody will.
Yeah, somebody will.
Somebody will. Because I did the branding
I've had
for
a,
that.
No, and this is funny.
I already know. You probably be this, like, this no, a, the fuck
nah,
you did
this
not.
Is, this is the funniest shit, man. I'm literally sitting at a restaurant. It's a group of people sitting on the side of us or whatever. This was early, before I really start putting my face to the front of the brand. Dude talking like, yeah, you know, yeah, my boy on ABL, you know, the basketball league that Lou and all them be playing in. I'm just letting them talk. So me and my homeboy, we sitting in. Because he heard it first, but he kept going in. He was like, yeah, you know, they do this. They got this sponsorship, da-da-da-da. So I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, this is because it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen.
For your,
you see what I'm saying? Now when I show up, I don't know who they talking to. I don't know. They might have been like, yo, Ray, we need Rock City to come. Da-da-da-da-da. And you like, I'm like, but why are you talking to me? Yeah. You don't own the league.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what you mean, Ray? That's my league. Yeah. You know, so when I seen that, I was like, that was literally, because I wasn't going to do it, bro. I was going to stay in the background, navigate
it. It clicked.
Structure it, mm-hmm. do the business. You know, like you've been around since the beginning too. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, this is crazy. Like, really, we in a time of social media where if you don't,
you
that's the point of the year.
You don't own it, somebody else will.
I don't even really like Kendrick Lamar. But that statement he made, sometimes you gotta pop out and show niggas, that is, I might get that shit tatted on me.
That's 2024.
I ain't even gonna lie.
That's the
I might get that shit tatted on me because that is where I'm at in life right now. That's where I'm at in business. Like, bro, that humble shit don't get you far.
Nowhere.
People don't respect that shit. They tell you to because they want you to feel normal like
that's
them.
How they keep it normal, but why they run circles, nigga. All right.
Now you running it up. I'm being a humble servant. Like, yo, like, let's piece this together. Let's do this. And I said, yo, in business, man, this is business. At the end of the day, you could take it. It is personal in it. But it's like, yo, if you feel a way because I'm handling my business and I'm taking care of my babies while taking care of the city, you're just going to have to feel a way.
But you know what I tell people? If you feel a way, that means you're the enemy of what I'm trying to do.
Because
my heart is in a good place. Like,
We can disagree. We can disagree all day, you know, and I see it. Like, I remember times I tell people all the time, like, yo, man, I learned a lot from Ray on the fly. He probably don't even know. Just like you spoke your mind. We can disagree all day, but you're going to understand and hear what the hell I got to say.
Because we don't
and
have
then
no
we
time.
Can talk later. We can talk later to figure out how we move forward. And I remember a conversation we was in right there off North Avenue when y'all had the studio and I had brought Just to you. And, you know, we was talking. He's like, yo, what you want to do? Like, I mean, he good, but what else y'all going to do? You know what I'm saying? And for me being a young manager, I didn't understand that hard talk.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you was like, oh, this motherfucker ain't trash. Why you got him in my face? But when after time went by, we got out of the music thing. Like, Justin living a great life up in Canton. He got babies now. You know, and we
shout
talk sometimes.
Jess.
I still listen to his music when
he
I'm
was
riding.
Hard too, by the way.
Right? I'm like, you know what Ray was really telling us was be the full package. Bring me more than just good music. Do the other part.
But you are the full package now.
But I learned that through talking to people like you, talking to my guy Bobby, like people who were like, yo, we gonna support you, we gonna network and connect you with people. That's how me and him connected. Just on some, like, people knew us, they knew we could kind of exist in the same worlds. But I told him, I said, yo, and I tell my girl this all the time. She be like, how you and Ray know each other? Because, you know, I'll show her something that was on the podcast or something. Like, yo, we go way back.
Like, to Motown, when I was working at Motown in 07.
Exactly. And I'm like, yo, like, there's people like that that I'm not able to, because I'm not in the music space no more. So a lot of people just like, oh, you disconnected completely. Nah. But I'm like, yo, it's people that are in this city that we all were connected at one time trying to do the same thing that I took nuggets from. And now to see you successful and find, this always been your way. Yeah.
It didn't exist. All I've been doing is what I'm doing right
now.
That's it.
It's
like a meeting.
That's
it.
So, you know, like I said, bro, like I'm learning to stand in my light, stand in my moment, take advantage of the things that are being positioned for us to have, still while taking care of the city. You know, I love this city. You know, I've been here 23 years, man. I go everywhere. Wherever I go, I'll carry Atlanta on my back. And I'm like, yo, no, y'all need to be doing this. Like the guys you just had, they A-Town Fest. I'm hitting Red Bull tomorrow. Like, yo, y'all doing A-Town Fest?
Exactly.
It don't cost me nothing.
Yeah.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. so she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Coming out of my budget.
But to be honest with you, that is what makes us great. Mm-hmm. We have, as black people, we've been fighting so long to get the light shined on us that we don't see that we can shine the lights ourselves.
Yeah.
Now. So now it's like, you can shine a light on you, but I'd rather shine a light on you and then you. And then you start having people say, hey, shine a light on me. And it's like, oh, you too then. You don't even think about it like that.
And we just got to, and what I am afraid of, and I'll say this, I haven't said this on record, I feel like Atlanta's kind of slowly going back to that old way where it's cliques and the cliques don't rock with each other. Yeah. And it's like, you doing your thing over there. You doing your thing over there. The last 10, 12 years, that wasn't what we had going on.
Yeah.
Ray, what you got? You like, exactly. Yo, John, I'm going to pull up on you.
Yep.
I'm coming to 404.
We always fuck with each
always.
Other. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Coach Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
I think we have to, and I think as you use your platform to speak, make sure they understand where we came from. We ain't always had this access.
And that's why I start off saying, like to me, we have let it get out of control. Like, we don't control our own narratives.
Yep.
And we're seeing how people not from our culture can come in and influence it in a way that is only because we're not controlling our own narrative,
yep.
Right? So it's like, we need to say, you the superhero. We need to say, shine a light on. It's like me, like, dog, let me tell you why it's important. I've been in the music business 20 years, going on 05, January 05 makes 20 years. I was talking to Akon. Akon, who kind of came, I graduated from school of convict. Akon goes, Ray, I didn't know you was that smart. What you talking about? He was like, nigga, if I knew you was that smart, nigga, I would have had you running convict, doing something with convict.
Right.
Nigga, I didn't know you was smart like that. How would he know? That's why you gotta talk.
Yeah.
Because then some niggas might sit back and be like, it's luck.
Yeah.
It's not luck. And then I got my young boys sitting right here, these young boys sitting right here. Like, I want them to understand, because the reason why they're good is because I know where they are at, because we were there.
Yeah.
But I want them to see.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when Ja was trying to figure it out. So now I like seeing Ja up. I remember because when he was trying to figure it out, I was too. So the fuck was trauma. Right. We was all trying to fucking figure it out.
Right.
Like, making mixtapes, trying shit. Yeah. Like, because the one we was just like, man, I don't want this shit to stop.
Yeah.
Because we love this shit. So That's why I love what, like, I just love what we are in media. I love what we are in our stories. Like, yeah. Hip hop is about to, in my opinion, hip hop and culture is about to explode bigger than it ever has, yeah. Because now we only had music. We have music, then we get fashion. Yeah. But now we have music, fashion, and we have 50 years of history.
Yeah.
We've been here, yeah, before. So, yep, now we got 50-year-old, yep, rappers now. We never, yeah, thought we would have, yeah, a fucking, yeah, a 40-year-old, yeah, rapper.
And that.
Jay knew it was coming when, yeah, he did 30s and new, yeah, 20. It was like, yeah, nigga, I got to give myself 10, yeah, more years real quick. Yeah.
And he's, and like I said, where I will argue with people to the death about Jay-Z. And I ain't going to argue with you back and forth about the music because you have your own taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was ahead. And it took him severing his relationship with his guy. And that's going to happen.
Yes.
In life, you're going to sever with your partner, your best friend, whatever. But if people go down in the history and say, yo, Jay is a scumbag, da-da-da-da-da, bro, he set us up for so much success. He put us so far ahead of the game to visually see if you was paying attention.
Yes.
Now, if you wasn't paying attention, that's your fault.
Yeah.
But when he started navigating that world of, hey, I can intercept all these things together, I don't have to write a record for them.
Yeah.
I can do business with them.
Yep.
I can be an owner.
Yep.
I can get my home. Listen, and people don't really understand because they don't do research. Do you realize that Jay-Z literally controls everything in culture? Everything. There is no person, nobody. Anywhere you look, it's him. His imprint is there.
Yep.
You talk about Clutch, that's his imprint. If you build the music, where they platform in the advertising, Rihanna, like even Kanye with all the shit he got going on, it would never have happened if Jay-Z didn't have those pioneer relationships to him.
There's one more person that you got to add to the Jay-Z list. LeBron.
Yeah, that's Clutch.
Okay,
that's,
yeah, Clutch. Okay, yeah, I would say
LeBron
say, learned.
Yeah, I won't
Clutch,
say
that's their whole, yeah, blueprint. Their came whole, from
but we give it to Clutch, but my point is that.
Well, no, see, we say Clutch because I don't want LeBron to, yeah, get in trouble.
No, but I'm just, no, yeah, but I'm saying, but on a bigger scale.
Don't know who this
on a bigger scale, look at it like this. And Matt, like, first of all, I'm only saying that because if you pay attention to the trends, all of the fastest growing companies are being ran by people who we know the face.
Yes.
It wasn't like nigga, we didn't know who the fucking CEO of Tide was.
Yeah.
Who the fuck, yeah, is that? Like, nigga, yeah, we know Elon Musk.
Yeah.
You know, like, we know, yeah, all, we know.
Yeah, you know the head all, of Nike, Reebok. Yeah.
We know,
yeah,
all of it.
Cachet, right, is a factor.
Yeah. So we have access to that information now. So with that being said, if you pay attention, and this is a more of a black thing, but I want to just bring it up because we talk about it a lot. If you pay attention, the only black people that are able to truly have success in America are famous ones.
Yeah.
Like LeBron, even when we spoke, when we did with Ernie Legion, when we talked to them, look, yeah, what they said. They said, if you look at the podcast, Joe Budden was still famous before he started a pod.
Yes.
Nori was famous before he started a pod. Like fucking Gilly was somebody before he started a pod. Right. They had something,
yeah,
that they can build on. Niggas is coming from nowhere. So that's why I'm like, y'all got to shine a light and we got to shine a light, yeah, because nigga, my son lives and dies sports. Like, this motherfucker loves sports.
I see the interviews.
And you see, and he, yeah, loves it. But how can I tell my son, like, now, when we was a kid, you say you want to be a basketball player. Not one time I heard in school, everybody in here went to school, not one time did we hear someone say, you could be a sports agent. They don't, right, tell it to black kids.
Yeah.
They don't tell black kids, yeah, you could be a coach.
Yeah.
You could be an agent.
Yeah.
And you could be in the business 60 years if,
yeah,
you want.
Because,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
Bron's the man now, but in 15 years, Rich Paul's going to be the king and LeBron's going to be, remember LeBron?
Yeah.
It's going to be Rich, yeah, Paul's going to be the king. So they don't tell us that. So that's why we need you, because I want to bring my son and say, that dude that started, that's daddy's homeboy. We start, yeah, like, because it looks like, damn,
yeah,
I can,
yeah,
do this.
And that's a very important piece of why I'm saying standing in my light and in my moment, because it's not just about me when I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. It's now that your son, my son, like when I go to my son's school, they literally be like, I mean, to these kids, you know what I'm saying? They like the little babies and things like, they be like, yo, we seen you on YouTube and da 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 da. And I'm like, I smile not because they saying it, but because like, damn, now they can see somebody
impact
that is doing something beyond just playing basketball and making an impact and working with these different brands and celebrities or whatever. But for these young kids, whether they college, you know, young adults, high school, middle school, down to elementary school, my message and voice to them is always like, the referee make a meal.
Yep.
Stephen A. Smith, an analyst, he worth $200.
Nigga about to make $25 million
a year. You see what I'm saying? So again, the school don't, They probably never going to do it. They never going to let that, because they like, hold on, that's another outlet for these black kids to focus on while they in school.
Yes, that's what it is. That's
yeah, so I think that, you know, to go back to the point of what I was saying about Jay, is that, yes, the brilliance, the iconicness of who he is, but people don't give him the respect of how he layered the platform for business for us to be able to get that, the understanding. Yes, he didn't come hand me nothing. He didn't say, you know, I was mentioning was Coltrane. So Coltrane, yeah. Curtis owns Translation. Yeah. So you got all these mega marketing agencies that's owned by black people that now we can see them.
Yep.
If you want to be in marketing advertising, you could go on Instagram and be like, yo, marketing. Yep. Team Epiphany is going to pop up.
Yep.
Steve Stout Translation, that's going to pop up. I talk to kids all the time that, literally, I was just talking to kids at Georgia State. I said, y'all know who Steve Stout is? Who? I said, you know why you know Allen Iverson? Do you know why there was a Jadakiss commercial?
Yep.
Do you know why Jay-Z and 50 Cent had sneakers?
Yeah.
There was somebody, you think it was just them?
The white man in the room said, let's give those black guys
call them in and give them a deal. Nah, there was somebody that brokered and put that deal together.
Yeah.
And when I said that, and shout out to Steve Stout, that's my guy, but you know, I tell people all the time, I want to do it better than them.
Yeah.
I want to do it better than them. And the reason why I think I can do it better than them, because I got a chance to see them.
I would say you have them as a reference.
I've seen them succeed and fail.
Yep.
That's on the job learning.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't, you know, I'm 41, so I'm the OG now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to these young kids, I'm still running circles around them.
Of course.
Because I'm like, first of all, you don't think that you got to do nothing.
Yep.
No work, no network, no relationships, no nothing. You just think you about to go out there and you got an idea, you're going to start flipping these T-shirts.
Yep.
It don't work like that, bro. You got to find people. You got to network with people. You got to make sure people know what you're trying to do. And I think if we can keep that energy in Atlanta and bottle it up, we got some big ass moments, dog.
Like, and it's gonna be ours. That's why Atlanta can't be for sale.
Yeah.
That's why I keep telling people.
Yeah.
So we have this game we play.
Okay.
It's called Making the Cut. It's very simple. We're gonna give you three options. You pick one to develop, you pick one to sign, and you pick one to cut.
Okay.
You have to say cut.
Okay.
You have to say, physically say cut.
Yes.
Because if you don't say cut, that means you have to donate $20 to the Creative Academy. It's a nonprofit for kids. It's a nonprofit that we partner
with.
Okay. So, you know, we don't ask people to drink. We give some.
I got you.
All right. So, I'm going to start off with Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, and I'm going to go LeBron. Who we cutting, who we developing, and who we signing.
As a basketball player,
man, you don't do that, Donnie. Don't do that. You be a part of the show, nigga. You know better.
Right.
No. I'm asking him based on his own criteria.
Okay.
I wanted to ask him that.
All right. This is easy for me though.
Okay.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't talk about the basketball. So.
Oh no, I'm gonna got a couple more.
Okay.
Get ready.
People not gonna like this, but I'm cutting Kobe.
Uh huh.
He said he's an AI guy.
I'm developing LeBron and I'm signing AI.
By the way, you my motherfucking nigga. You're my nigga because you stood tall in your
all
shit.
Time.
You stood
all time.
Tall in your
Kobe,
shit.
Kobe is my guy, but he's not my guy like them.
Yeah.
Right.
Them is LeBron, AI, Jay-Z. We ain't got talking about nobody else.
I think
else.
I could agree with him with that.
All right, we ain't got talking about nobody else.
I'm gonna give you music too.
Okay.
Debut album. Ready to Die, Illmatic, Reasonable Doubt.
I think I want to answer this too.
Oh,
this is debut album. I want to focus on the fact that these are first albums from these guys.
All right. It don't matter what order.
So
I'm signing Reasonable Doubt.
That says a lot. You don't need
that. I'm signing Reasonable Doubt.
Buddy,
that was a character in my life.
Yep.
I'm going to develop Ready to Die and I'm cutting Illmatic.
What? I will reverse.
So I'm stuck. I'm going to donate my $20. But I'm stuck because what people don't understand about our generation in New York. So I would say 89, 90, like that group. Like, we still were having fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So Nas was a little bit too serious. That's street talking to us. Like, he was talking at, like, he was talking as a hustler, but he was also like very mature talking. And like, he was talking like he was like the 30-year-old dope boy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So like, when he rapped, I liked it. It sounded dope, but it was like, that's kind of like my older cousins and you know, like the high school kids.
Yeah.
When Reasonable Doubt came, and I tell people this, yo, I listen to that album every morning before school. Brooklyn Finest. I like the energy in it was like, and my family from Brownsville, Brooklyn. So it's just like they amassed that feeling of Brooklyn. And when I heard that shit, I was just like, yo, this shit is crazy. And to be honest with you, I didn't even really know Jay-Z. The music spoke to me before I knew who he was. And then Ready to Die just was like, I mean, Biggie was.
I think because Ready to Die to me was, I always say it was perfect.
Yeah.
To me, it was like. It was like, it was street, but Puff had just enough gloss on it.
Yep.
Where you have a big
pop. It was
pop
fun. It felt fun when you heard the Dope Boys driving around and you heard it.
Yeah.
Like, it just was like a time. And then I could be missing when the album dropped in time, but I know like that summer specifically, we traveled a lot through the boroughs.
Yeah.
Everybody was playing it.
I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
This is not making a cut.
Okay.
That's done. I want to just ask you a question. Give me the three albums that have affected you the most as a man. Whether you was a young man, you were an older man, like what are three albums that really like affected your life?
I would say Reasonable Doubt is one.
Okay.
I think that was the first one. That was really my introductory to hip hop.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Like,
crazy.
Like
you digested, not like the radio playing.
Cousin telling
me,
I got you. Whatever. That was the first album that I really sat and listened to. Can I Live is my mantra. I used to have that on my license plate.
That's crazy.
Dead President, like, it just, like, yo, it was just, like, I was just that time that was, like, you're a young dude in the hood, you hooping, and you're trying to make it out.
It was
out.
Hustlers music. It was before Wayne said it. It was the first Hustlers music.
It was literally, like, that, again, that's my go-to album. When I'm on the road traveling, I'm listening to the album top to bottom.
Give me two more.
Another one. I would say this next album, I'm trying to think in phases, man, because I haven't always been the biggest album person.
That's why I asked you that.
Yeah,
you know, I always like to get like which shaped you. Like,
yeah.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holler at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holler at us to get to YKTV.
Blueprint.
Okay.
I think because that was my transition from a young man to adult.
Yeah.
And I just moved to Atlanta. The towers just dropped. Yeah, you know, like, I was in an emotional state because I just lost my mom. And like I said, I was in Atlanta and I seen it. Like, bro, when I got off that air train to come to Atlanta and I got here, I was like, I ain't never going home. They can forget about this shit. These black people with nice houses and cars and owning their own business, I'm like, I'm never going back. So I would say Reasonable Doubt, Blueprint.
And give me one more.
That last one going to be tough, but I'm going to say...
This got you through hard times. I want you to go Young Ja, like what you put in the radio.
Well, see,
I think
so what is it? What's damn, I'm confusing the names. Dark as Hell.
This Dark as Hell.
What was the one with the brown on the
Is Dark as Hell Hot? Is
that's the third album.
No,
that's
no.
Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My
shit
Blood.
With him, with him bleeding after, on the front.
That's the second album. Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My
Dark
Blood.
As Hella Hot is the first album.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. With the X, and then he did the joint with him bleeding.
Yep.
With slipping on it. That I would say
that album's crazy. Yeah.
But I got goosebumps thinking about it, because I only ask you that, and that's a question I want to ask everybody going forward, because we don't talk about how music is therapeutic.
Yeah.
How important it is.
It's like our lifeline, bro.
We've allowed it to get down to just like shake your ass and titties.
Yeah.
And by the way, it was there too back then, but like we need to put emphasis on these projects that, like, when you a small kid and you don't know what the world is, these albums like our footprints, because these are guys that are like us from where we're from, telling us the experience, what it's like, and we tapped into that. So
And I would add, I would say for that third one, I would do A and B. So Lost Boys first album.
It's a Lost Boys.
Classic.
Lost
New
Boys.
York is a
that's
New
a super classic.
York.
That album's classic.
Lost Lex Boys.
Lex Demons in the Bed.
Lost Boys first album was my last summer in New York.
Yeah.
Summer in the City was out. That was when they joined. And I would say for me, that was like, if I can think back, like, what was your last moment in New York?
I got that. That's why I was trying to recall. I love that.
Yeah, we was in, and that album, like, literally, like, that's all we listened to. Like, I had Atlanta dudes listening to Lost Boys in Decatur.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying? Like, on campus, they like, yo, what's that you listen to? They knew the Lex Scoop Beeman and Ben song because it was on TV. Yeah. But I would say that was another album that it kind of soaked with me while I was in Atlanta. It still kept me to New York, connected to New York. I felt like I was at home, you know.
Sure.
So and like you said, music. It's super therapeutic, but to me, it's a lifeline.
For sure.
Yes.
You know, it don't matter what I'm going through, man. I got a song for everything.
Me too.
And
that's why I asked that, though, because those songs are our time capsule that takes us there. So listen, we have this thing we do called Credit Check.
Okay.
Right? Credit Check, we hate, on the God show, we hate saying give someone their flowers.
Flowers die.
Flowers die, and we only give it to people when they die. Fuck them flowers. Yeah. Give me my credit.
I respect that.
I can leverage that. Give us 2 to 3 unsung heroes in Ja's story that you want to shout out that deserves a shout out. I mean, it's probably 100 of them. But
I would say for sure, in no specific order, you know, Mike Wahlberg.
Shout out to Mike Wahlberg.
Yeah, people don't know Mike, what he's doing now.
He's with LL Cool J.
Yeah, Mike is... been a really like your distant brother.
Saying, he's like one of the first plugs. He built A3C.
Yeah, yeah. So
out his mom's garage.
Yeah, out his mom's garage. Always,
nice garage, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Nice exactly. I would say, you know, definitely he's always keeping me abreast of opportunities, and you know, he's never known, because people don't know, like, I left A3C at like 2015. I came back to help with brand partnerships, but me and Mike, so the label, right? I was helping him with I was his A&R doing that. That's how I knew the Jaren Benton and all
Benton
the
together,
all of the artists that were coming, you know, we were doing that. Then there's not a day that there's an opportunity on his table that he doesn't call and say, yo, Ja, I want you to help. Mm-hmm. Or yo, Ja, like, you know, here's an opportunity.
It's hard to find those, by the way.
I honestly, out of all, and no shade to color, because I don't think that plays a part to business, but like...
Atlanta white people are different, though.
They are. And Mike has always, you know, I've been here 23 years. Like I said, I worked with A3C with him from about 2009 or 10, I think, whenever that year that J. Cole came or whatever, or J. Cole was here for the show. Mike always calls me and give me, you know, leverage me the opportunity, keeps me in the fold of different things.
Who else?
I would say my dad.
That's fire. We love that.
Yeah, my dad for sure. A lot of people, when they see him, they don't know he's my dad. Like, even in New York, like, when I take him to Dykeman and different, they're like, that's your pops? Because my pops been running around New York saving kids all his life.
Oh, wow.
And I say that in a way that...
So you grew up in a house with an organizer.
No. That's where I learned.
It's in your blood.
So he was saving everybody else, and he wasn't there for me.
Got you.
You get what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
So he actually helped me tap into, all right, that's not the way.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's great, And I struggle with this.
Yeah.
I'm a saver.
Yeah.
I want to save everybody. Yeah, you tell me right now, yo, Ja, there's some kids on the west side that
I'm praying. I'm trying to pray.
Yo, I'm like, we gotta wrap up because I need to go figure it out.
I hate that I'm that way, by the way.
But I had to realize that, and it's gradual growth, but I had to realize that he just didn't know.
Mm.
He didn't understand. He didn't know that, you know, he needed to rear me in a way that I can be better than him.
Yeah.
He just looked at it. He played basketball. I love basketball. That's what we going. That's what I'm.
That's what gonna build. You know. Our bond on.
So he actually helped me elevate to where I'm at now. Because when he did come back in my life, right, it was more of a like, I'm gonna help you navigate the weeds now of being a man.
Yeah.
Fuck basketball.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like my dad never seen me. My dad's never seen me play a high school game. He's never seen me play a college game.
Oh, wow.
He's never seen me play a semi-pro game. But he don't miss my son's games.
Nice.
He's at AABL as much as he can be because he still lives in New York. So, man, like, to be able to see a mirror image of, like, what you could have been, and I say that in a way, like, when you say unsung, it's like, nobody would ever even know he's my dad unless I said he was my. People would have just been walking around like, oh, that's they call him Bingo. So they would have like, yo, Bingo, Coach Bingo, Coach Bingo. But now he's my. They know he my dad. Man, my dad can go anywhere in New York, go to Madison Square Garden, Brooklyn Nets. They come on, sit down here. My pops was sitting up in the damn nosebleeds.
Or
not even in the arena, you know. But he did a lot for me to shape and reform being a dad, you know, making sure that I can do what I want to do in life. So shout out to my pops. And then I would say from like more of a unsung in the sense that they weren't kind of like directly in my life, but they were like someone I can look at. I would probably say either Reese Bentley. Mm. I don't know if y'all know Reese Bentley, but he used to be the vice president of Foot Locker.
Oh, wow.
Black man here in Atlanta. He just moved to Miami. And then my college coach, Coach Barney. Alfred Barney, legendary college coach, coached me at Georgia Perimeter. They don't even notice. Now they do because now, you know, I send them text messages and things. But, man, the way that he really shaped us as young men with the no excuse attitude. I don't give a shit. You tie it, get your ass to class, be at practice on time.
Yeah.
We'll deal with that once you get there.
Yeah.
The way that he nurtured his kids, like his little girls who now work for me were babies when I was playing and he didn't miss a practice.
Mm.
He didn't miss a game.
That's
he
fine.
Was always on time. You know, and even the struggles that I saw him have that he let us see, I think was so pivotal to once I became a dad. Because I was a young dad, so I had my daughter at 19.
Yeah.
So my daughter grew up around his family, too, in the way that he just, like, he was my Bill Cosby.
Gotcha.
Put it like that.
I like that.
Because I didn't watch TV a lot. Sure. I was in the street running around. You know, I know the Cosbys. Obviously, I watch shows and stuff like that. But
that was your first time touching
That's
important, by the way.
So when people were like, Bill Cosby raised us. Like, nah, my college coach was that idol for me. And to this day, you know, even when we chop it up now, he'd be like, he's like, I heard what happened. You know, like his daughter would tell him like something might have happened at the gym. And he'd be like, man, she said you handled it well. He's like, but don't take no shit. Yeah. Like, don't let these folks think they can play with you.
Sure.
So, you know, those would be my three people. And all of them are still super impactful in everything that I do and how I move. And for me now, it's my turn to start navigating that with our peers, your son, making sure that he can get access and come to the games and really chill and learn.
I think my son was actually trying to intern for the EBL, and his mom was like, and I was like, that's my nigga.
Yeah.
He can do that.
He can come anytime.
But he's interning for his daddy first.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and he can do both.
I'm like, he ain't going to, no. He going to, because I want, you know, like,
you want to sharpen him.
That's the importance of the man in your life.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, last question.
Okay.
This is called the God Show. God is an acronym for goats and underdogs. Do you consider yourself a goat or do you consider yourself an underdog? And if you do consider yourself an underdog,
okay,
what do you want to personally accomplish for you to title yourself the goat?
Nah, dog, I'm the fucking goat.
Right. Knew that was coming.
I love when niggas act that way.
10 years ago, I might have been like, yeah, I'm the underdog, bro. Nah, but nah, ain't nobody doing this shit the way that I'm doing it. Ain't nobody gonna do it the way that I'm doing it. And for me, man, you know, I want to leave a way where people can also stand in their light.
Yeah.
So if that means I got to take all of the adversity or the people talking, that's cool. Way. That's cool. I can handle it. I'm built for it. Now, so
I was going to say, well, we build a new sets because we only want this couch for the goats.
Yes,
like,
sir.
That's why when they send a name, I'm like, who? Oh, yeah, for sure. Because we need, in our community, I know so many successful black men and women who I'm like, man, if I was a kid knew I could live your life, I would probably went for that.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that was available to me. So this is career day. This is how we show them the other careers, the ones that they don't go. And by the way, it is possible. Because they like to say, that's one in a million. It's really not.
Nope.
The one in a million is not the odds as much as it's just the way they stay consistent on the path and they finally got there. So, man, I just want to tell you, man, thanks for doing the God Show. We celebrate you. You are a GOAT.
Appreciate it.
And shout out to y'all for watching. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Tote and Carrie. Shout out to Yoko Vaca. Shout out to Lareko. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution. Shout out to y'all for sitting through watching this. And follow this man. Support this man. And interact with him. Engage with him. Because he is a hero in our community. And if we don't, then where we going? We can't keep complaining. We ain't got nothing. And we got something sitting right here saying, hit me. So this the God Show. We out. My brother, thank
you. Appreciate you.